Hey, with the Vox, the Rock and Roll Psychic. It's November 27th, 2006, and this is my second podcast, and I'm really excited about tonight's show. So anyway, it's been a pretty interesting week with Jupiter at 0 degrees Sagittarius, making all kinds of interesting developments. And as you may have noticed by the news, violence, all kinds of strange goings on, maybe a little bit more than usual. And what that's a hallmark, 0 degrees of any sign is very much like an open vortex where things come and go from. It's very intense. And it forces people to want to act very intensely on their need for freedom. So if you're out there breaking up with people, having arguments, wanting to, you know, cause some physical violence, I suggest you don't do that. These are natural kind of feelings, so you're just going to have to deal with it. We're moving into the first degree probably by tomorrow of Jupiter in Sagittarius, and things hopefully will calm down a little bit until the next planets start moving in that direction. Anyway, just giving you a little bit of rundown on where some of the planets are today. And obviously, I'm going to be doing more and more podcasts, so who knows, we may wind up starting to do our own little regular show. So right now you have the sun at 5 degrees of Sagittarius. Again, it's very early degrees and people are getting kind of itchy and antsy and very bored. Moon's in Aquarius. For all of you people who are around 27, 28 years old who might be going through your Saturn return, you probably want to kick some shit and break some stuff and get into some trouble. But try to hold back on your anger right now. It's a really bad idea. There's Mercury that's direct, 15 degrees Scorpio, and it won't go back to the degree that it went retrograde until December 4th. So again, try not to sign any really important papers right now, and try not to make any promises that are too big that you can't keep. And if the plans change, just kind of go with the flow. Don't freak out. Got Venus in Sagittarius. So again, people are starting to look for new friendships, new relationships. They're kicking the old ones to the curb. Witness Reese and Ryan. You know, Brittany and FedEx. Just name somebody. Everybody's breaking up. Oh, yeah, and how did I dare forget the newest couple on the rocks, Pam Anderson and Kid Rock. Should just call him Kid on the Rocks. We'll talk about him at some other point. But those are some of the big celebrity breakups coming up right now. And, again, it's because people are feeling really restricted in some way, and they're acting out on that. Have Mars in Scorpio, which is, again, very intense, and it's going to get even more intense, so just deal with it. And as we said, Jupiter is still in Sagittarius. We have something very interesting that's happening today. Saturn hit 25 degrees Leo. Very, very intense. It's a degree ruled by Venus, and what it does is it can make people very proud and very, very stuck in the mud. Like, as they need to get their own way at any and all costs. Now, the weird thing is Saturn's going stationary. I guarantee we're going to have serious earthquakes, serious bombings. You just name it. The poop's literally, all right, I'm going to call it as it is. The shit's going to hit the fan. Just deal with it. At home and abroad, there's really no way out of it. And it's going to be that way till December 6th. Saturn being stuck at a particular degree makes it very, very, very stifling. How many times can I say very? That's how stifling it is. So you're going to have issues where you feel like you can't move forward. People are delaying your progress. It feels like you're going to explode. Just take a chill pill. Remember, Vox told you it was going to be like this, and just deal with it. We got Uranus in Pisces. And again, don't be surprised if you hear some more earthquakes offshore, that kind of thing. There's always earthquakes. There's millions of earthquakes every day. Let's get real. But just these can really like have a little bit more of a stronger impact. And we've also got Pluto at 25 degrees Sagittarius, which is trining that fire degree of 25 degrees of Saturn in Leo. So look forward to being shot out of a cannon at your earliest convenience. So the very things that are making you feel stuck are those things that are going to start, you know, happening very quickly. It's almost like you're hoping really hard for things to happen and it doesn't look like anything's happening. So you basically call, you know, Domino's or something. You order like a pizza and it doesn't show up. And every hour on the hour, you call up Domino's and you order another pizza. And you still don't think anything's happening. Well, you go out and in the morning, you find out there's like, you know, 2,000 pizzas on your front lawn that you didn't think were coming. So just hold on. Don't overdo it. Don't start freaking out. And whatever you do, don't become succumbing to things like road rage. So these are things that can be going on right now. Now, as I was wondering, I was going through my tarot cards going, what kind of show should I do? Because I like to wing it, as people know. I like to just let the influences of the energy kind of inform my actions. And the art card came out, which is the 14th trump of the tarot in the Crowleian Book of Thoth deck, and it's also known as Temperance in the other decks. And that's a Sagittarius card, really the 25th path on the Tree of Life. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I was like, wait, it's November 27th. Hey, it's Jimi Hendrix's birthday. He's a Sagittarius. Let's talk about him. Let's check him out for a few minutes and pay a little homage. And we all know that he was born November 27th, 1942, making him a Sagittarius. And I was going through his chart and found some interesting things, such as, you know, things that maybe people haven't really talked about, like, you know, how he passed away, how he left the world so quickly. And then I started thinking, this is very strange, you know, because literally almost a year to the day, you have Jim Morrison, same name, Jim. They're both Sagittarians. They're both born very close to one another, and they literally die a year apart from each other, both dying at the age of 27. Very significant number for you Kabbalists out there. 27 is the number of the path of the tower that connects Mercury and Venus. This is very, very intense kind of energy with that. And I thought, well, I wonder what kind of stuff is similar in their charts. And what they basically had, they had a lot of strong Leo energies. And then I also noticed as well that it seemed like they weren't really in control of their own deaths. And I made a shocking discovery, which will lead me to the rest of the idea of today's show. I know this sounds totally insane, but what can I say? I strongly suspect that witchcraft had a great deal to do with the death of both of these illustrious musicians, these great men. And I will dare to say that they were both suffering from very poorly executed, no pun intended, love spells. I was speaking about Jimi Hendrix, and I was noticing that when he passed away, he had Saturn transiting in Taurus, which rules the throat. And as we all possibly, maybe all of you don't know, he died basically inhaling his own vomit. Sorry, but that's the truth. And he got very sick from pretty much ODing on barbiturates and sleeping pills. And so when that happened, he literally choked to death. That was the formal cause of his passing. But I really think that a lot of other really weird stuff was going on in his life. He had Moon in Cancer, which was really intense for somebody like a Sagittarian. Here he was, Mr. Fly-by-Night, going crazy, seat of his pants, setting shit on fire. And then he's got this delicate Moon in Cancer, this beautiful degree, makes him very poetic. And it's got to have been a really difficult situation for him, because by nature, he had quite a few planets in Sagittarius, which made him a big-ass hoe, no way out of it, because he was very sexy, very virile young man. And just even his music, he didn't even have to say anything, but he was just sex personified. And here he is just playing around, and he's got to be in this very serious kind of predicament with his Moon in Cancer, making him really care too much about people. Very sensitive, very psychic. And that's a hard combination with the greatest guitar player probably who ever lived. Certainly one of the most inventive and most revolutionary musicians who ever lived. So it would have been a really difficult situation, and it would have been making him prime meat for some really hardcore groupies out there. And I don't know how many people have done their rock history research, but there was quite a bit of pagan influences at that time. A lot of witchcraft, a lot of black magic, a lot of crazy stuff going on. I have no doubt whatsoever, looking at his chart, that thinking how many women were putting love spells on this poor guy. And I really do feel that something like that had something to do with his passing, which sounds totally insane and completely ridiculous, but we're dealing with psychic phenomena. Now, the deal is, you can't prove magic, you know, like the illustrious Master Therion, also known as Aleister Crowley. In the Book of the Law, says, success is thy proof. So no, you know, you don't have to sit there and prove that your rituals are working. How they wind up is pretty much all you need. And any good witch or magician is usually pretty smart. They don't sit around and brag about the stuff that they've manifested. Of course, you do run into these New Age types that talk about all the crazy things that they do that are supposedly manifesting, that's a favorite word, in their lives. But when you're doing witchcraft and stuff like that, you don't necessarily have to proclaim it, but you can pretty much see the effects of it. Now, I'm going to back up some of what I'm saying here and with a little bit of a foray into Jim Morrison's chart, which I also thought was pretty darn interesting. And Jim was also a Sagittarian, born on December 8th, and in a different year, of course. What year was he born? Let me go over here and find out. 1943. So just basically a year's difference. So, Jim Morrison, born December 8th, 1943, and he died July 2nd. Everybody says he died July 3rd. He did not. I'm psychic. I'm telling you he died July 2nd because that's my birthday. He died in 1971, and he died in a very strange circumstance where he, of course, somebody said, like Pamela Corson, his girlfriend at the time, said he had a heart attack in the bathtub, which I really got to say, I have a high doubts and suspicion that that's exactly how he passed away, because I just don't believe it. And then we know that Pam and Jim were also into magic, even if they didn't keep any real serious magical records. And for sure, Pam was definitely into witchcraft. So hopefully I'm not pissing her parents off. Same weird stuff about her. She had a little dress shop up there on Sunset Plaza many years ago called Thetis, or Themis, actually. Yeah, it was Themis, after one of the ancient Egyptian goddesses of truth. So you pretty much know where she's coming from. Now, in Jim's chart, he had Venus in Scorpio at 0 degrees. So he was the sex god. I mean, when they say he was a lizard king, they're not kidding. Lizards, by the way, are one of the sacred symbols of Scorpio because they change their skin. They're able to regenerate their organs. No pun intended. But he had a really powerful degree of that. And he died in water, very interestingly, supposedly, you know. So those are a couple little tidbits, but I do really feel that witchcraft pretty much had something to do with both of the deaths of Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison. I'll never be able to prove it on a tactical, practical level, but then again, you know, psychics, we don't really deal in other kinds of levels of practicality. It's a whole other ball game. We're not really interested in skeptics. We don't care. Quite frankly, when people go, how do you tell the future? How do you know these things? And the answer is, I don't have a clue how I know this stuff. There's a word called clairsentience, which means clear knowing. It's like that Estee Lauder perfume, knowing. It's like you just know. You can feel it. It's like when you look at somebody who's trying to sell you something and tell you it's for free, you know they're full of shit. You know, it's like, no, I know you're lying. Same thing with psychics that have clairsentience. You just know. You don't know how you know. You just do. And later on, stuff pans out. And you go, see, I told you. Don't you hate when psychics say that anyway? But so those are little tidbits about Jim and Jim. And I thought you might be interested to know a little bit about that. But some of the things that were entering my mind as I was mulling over, why am I going to talk about the death of Jimi Hendrix when we're really kind of celebrating his birth and all that he brought into the planet and all the great, you know, changes that he brought into the musical field? Well, as I was meditating on it and I got into the whole little witchcraft zapparoo kind of thing, I started understanding that this has a direct link with some of the crazy letters that I've been getting. And trust me, I get 500 letters a day, and that's a slow day. And most of these people are demanding answers. And one of the famous popular questions of the week, for whatever weird reason, people wanted to know about love spells. And then, of course, once I saw some of these influences at work in both Jimi Hendrix's and Jim Morrison's charts, I was like, okay, let's talk about this love magic thing for a minute. What is love magic? What's magic anyway? Well, according to people like Crowley, you know, magic is the ability to cause change in conformity with will, meaning I want something to happen, and damn it, one way or the other, I'm going to make this thing happen. Whether through practical manipulation of the earth sphere or by astral manipulation of the astral sphere. And that's where you get the famous sayings like above, so below, or as above, so below. What happens, magic works on the astral plane. Not the astro plane. That's different. That's a cartoon somewhere. The astral plane is the part of the spiritual universe wherein you posit the desire that you want to manifest. And by clearly envisioning it on the astral plane, the universe has to balance itself in some way. And in order to balance itself, it has to manifest on the physical plane so all the planes can be in equilibrium. That's how it works. It's that simple. You don't have to burn candles. You don't have to use sacred oils. You don't have to stand in a circle. If you're going to do formal evocations and formal planetary magic and things like that, yeah, you do. Okay? But you don't have to do those kinds of things for very specific kind of magic to work. And you don't have to believe in magic. In fact, it's actually fine if you don't even believe in magic. Some people are really restricted by the fact that they believe or don't believe in anything. All you have to have is a pure desire to want something to happen. Now, as you notice, I said want something to happen. You can't manifest realities regarding sentient beings other than yourself, if you're sentient. In other words, you can't make people love you. If you want a really great love spell to make people love you, just save yourself a shitload of money on candles, wax, and oils, and paraphernalia, and just be lovable instead. That's the best love spell I know. Just be lovable, and people will love you. Hang around somebody that you really want to love you and be really lovable to them, and it will seem pretty much like a love spell. But, you know, you don't, if you're trying to attract somebody who's not even attracted to you in the first place, you have a problem, okay? That in and of itself necessitates that you deal with a psychotherapist rather than a psychic. So that's hopefully something that will help you. But anyway, getting back to magic. Yeah, magic does work. And what magic really is creating a really interesting, detailed, but not too detailed, program of how you want something to show up in your life. Now, of course, it's magic because if you really understood how to bring that thing into your life, you would just go and do it. Magic presupposes the fact that, yeah, you're stupid. You don't know how to manifest this thing in your life, and that's why you're trying to create a ritual to bring it to you. So what you have to do is decide, again, first thing that you want, and just start projecting that. That's the most important thing that you can possibly do. Now, the problem with most people doing magic is they try to tell the gods or God or whatever form of higher power that they're trying to, you know, get in touch with. You don't tell the superior power that you're supplicating yourself to how to deliver it. Like, okay, I want to date Sting, and I want him to show up, and I want him to dump Trudy, and I want him to leave his kids in England, and I want him to give me the castle, and I want him to give me the Versace gown. No, it's not going to work like that. The closest you can do is get something very Sting-like that fulfills a great amount of the particular details that you're trying to manifest. And something as close to what you want will show up in your life. Now, is this success or is this failure in magic? The deal is, if you're happy with it, it's success. If you do a ritual to get $10,000 and you make $100, is this a success or is it a failure? Well, it's a success in the fact that you manifested something. Some people will say, if you don't get exactly what you do a ritual for, then it's a failure. I say that if you don't get exactly what you want, it's just the universe's way of saying you over-asked, you overreached what your natural ability to attract something into your life karmically. That's my personal psychic opinion about it. But yeah, love spells work. All magic works. And it doesn't work magically. That's the joke of the day. I've had these people writing me letters going, well, I stood in the circle, and I stared in the mirror, and I burned the candle, and I stomped my foot, and the spirit didn't show up, and the shit doesn't fucking work. And I'm like, well, exactly what did you say? What did you do? How did you prepare? Did you keep your magical record? They go, what is that? You know, magic is the least magical thing in the world. It's a joke, my friends. The deal is that when you read a really great grimoire, you're out there saying, okay, we want you to climb this 200-foot-tall tree. We want you to climb onto this limb and cut a virgin branch at dawn and bless it with the blood of a rooster. All these weird things. You're like, who the hell is going to do that? And that's exactly the point, my friend. Only a dedicated person who's really, really intent on getting what they want would fulfill all the premises that have to be fulfilled to get that magic to work. Magic is hard work. Quite frankly, it's a lot easier to just go get a job than it is to do a ritual to get money. You know, a really well-done ritual could take anywhere from an hour to 2 hours, at least. Okay, if you're a chaos magician, you probably just do your famous eighth degree magic and get shit to happen. And if you don't know what that means, then you don't need to know what that means. You should go get a book and read something. The most important thing is just to understand that you have to create the desire, create the program, do the program. And then the most important thing of all when you're doing magic is you have to sit back and wait. All right, say if you're very, very hungry and you decide that you want to go to the store because you're really, really hungry. Well, yeah, go ahead and buy some instant crap that's already like heated under the hot lamp and go eat that. All right, you're saying that doesn't taste good. I want to go get a cake. Well, you could find a really beautiful cake that could cost $15 to $30 already made, but what if you don't have that kind of money? So you go buy yourself a box of Duncan Hines or something. It doesn't look like a cake, but all the cakeness is in there. What you have to do is you have to purchase it. You have to bring it home. You have to add the other necessary ingredients. You have to mix it. You have to put it in a pan. You have to make sure that you put the pan in the oven. Then you have to turn the oven on. And then, of course, most important of all, you have to remember, did you pay your gas bill? Will this cake even rise? And then the key ingredient of all things, period, is waiting. It's called the process. It's even that way in alchemy. Whatever it is that you want, you can bring all of these elements together, but only the mixture and the process of those things in accordance with certain physical laws and laws of physics and the passage of time, those are the things that make magic work. And that's a lot of work to try to bring something into your life that, first off, if you really wanted something in the first place, why haven't you gone off and done the logical things to manifest it in your life? Why wait until the last minute and then hope some 20-cent, you know, circus book full of magic spells is going to do it for you? If you haven't planned your life a little better up till now, it's just time to get started. Because magic is not magical. Magic is logic. And once you learn elements of the Kabbalah, you learn colors, you learn numbers, you learn your planets, you learn your zodiacal signs, you learn the times of the seasons, you learn to put yourself in tune with nature, you start finding out that a lot of the things that you think you don't have are actually at your disposal. A great card that you might want to manifest through is the Magician card, specifically in the Crowley deck, the High Magus card, a really beautiful card where you see Thoth Hermes walking on a tightrope and the Ape of Thoth crawling up from the abyss, and you see his beautiful chalice floating behind him, and you see his wand and his pentacle and his sword and his dagger. And what this really means in this particular card is everything he needs is at the disposal of the magician at all times. All he has to do is reach out. All he has to do is identify that thing within himself that is like unto the thing that he wishes to attract. And voila, kid you not, you manifest your desires. And it's really that simple. Recently, I was given something in front of a friend that was pretty amazing. I drove past a place that I think is really amazing. This is the El Rey Theater. And I've always wanted to play there. I'm in a band, for those of you who don't know. And I just said, hey, you know what? I would really love to play this place. I've never played there. My friend goes, oh, what is that? I said, this is a really amazing club. It's totally amazing. One day I'm going to play there. And as God is my witness, or all gods, whatever you want to call them, within about 2 weeks, I wind up meeting a new friend, and this person heard like a few minutes of my music and offered me a gig at the El Rey. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, didn't burn any candles, didn't like ignite myself with any flaming oils, didn't burn any talismans, didn't do anything. I just equated such a pure desire with what it was that I wanted. And I had also done the preparation to manifest the thing that I wanted. And all obstacles towards that goal had disappeared. And I got something that I really wanted. And of course, you know, I'll let you guys know when it's going to happen. But things of that nature, are those coincidences? And the answer is no, they're not. How can anything you say or want be a coincidence? You know, when you get it. Jung talked about these kinds of things and called them synchronicities. You know, meaning like timely events. Synchronous is timed. And it's of Saturn. And I really think that these ideas regarding karma are really important to consider. I don't think of karma as this nasty thing that bites you in the ass, by the way. I think karma is very much cause and effect. Karma doesn't mean that you can get more of an effect because you have more of a cause. Everything is exactly balanced. Whatever you put out, you get. And I don't mean like in a Christian way. I just mean if you exert some force to turn the light on or off, it will probably go on or off. Everything is equal in balance to whatever the projected force is. For those of you who might study physics or math, these are important things to consider when you start doing magic. So if you're interested in beginning the studies of magic, first off, believe it's not a trick. It's not a coincidence. It's not really synchronicity. It's a direct willed thought that manifests in a result that is pleasing to you, hopefully, if you've done it correctly. And if you've done it incorrectly, I just hope your magic doesn't work. I've heard some crazy stories lately about people who just, you know, were winging it. Now, some of these really dangerous rituals trying to evoke spirits without any protection. I'm like, dude, you are so lucky that shit didn't work because your head would have been popped off by now. You're not dealing with spirits that are outside of yourself. A lot of people, they want to play around with magic, but they don't want to deal with the hardcore results that dealing with magic can really bring into your life. Once again, bringing up the points of Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison, there's a lot of people that don't realize that the story is really true, that Jim Morrison actually really did have a pagan hand fasting, which is a pagan wedding, with a very well-known witch, who, by the way, is a very well-known and respected science fiction writer now. I think her name is Patricia Morrison. I can't remember her other name. But Jim Morrison apparently thought it was a big joke. Well, I don't think she did. As you can see, I don't think things turned out too well for Jim Morrison on that particular account. But I'm not saying that she would have had anything to do with that. But magic exists. You don't have to believe it. For anybody out there, you know, that's interested in trying these kind of things, you should check out some different books. You can always check out my site. You can always write in and ask me questions. On my next show, what I like to do is read different letters and different questions from those of you out there who have really important questions to ask, in particular regarding magic, the performance of it, different kind of magical traditions, different kinds of famous illustrious magicians that have lived. Any questions about any of those kinds of things are definitely be welcome on the show. But kind of winding up here on some of these ideas regarding magic. Most important thing to remember is magic comes from you. It doesn't come from outside of you. So once you start organizing your thoughts, it starts working a lot better for you. In particular, you might want to start analyzing the things that happen to you on a daily basis. You know, does the same old shit keep happening? And if so, instead of thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to just go do some magic and change this shit all around, why don't you ask yourself first what it is that you're doing wrong that keeps making these same kind of situations happen? I really love it when people say, I didn't do anything and this stuff keeps happening. I have a black cloud over my head and life sucks and everybody leaves me. And, you know, think about it. You know, if certain kind of situations continue to happen to you, you are causing them. You are allowing them to happen at the very least. What are you doing? Once you start writing down these situations in a good diary, which I suggest you get cracking to right now, you'll start noticing patterns of your behavior. Once you start keeping a ratio of these same things that keep happening to you, you might start noticing, hey, you know, every time these things happen to me, I'm talking to John. So how come all this stuff always happens to me after I talk to John? And you start noticing that these strange occurrences only happen with certain people. You might start wanting to paying attention to if these people have your best interest in mind. Are they playing mind games with you? Are they somehow disempowering you? Or what kind of mind games are they playing with you? You want to start paying attention to that, then start paying attention to the repetitive situations. Once you can isolate these situations and these people that keep coming up every time you have a bad day, you can make an experiment and not talk to those people for a while and see if it really is those people that are bringing about these negative influences or negative situations. Once those things start happening, you can start clarifying what's really going on. Now, a lot of times you may be blaming other people for stuff that's happening to you, and it's total bullshit. It's really your own fault. Trust me, I get letters like this every day. Box, I have a curse on me. Someone's put a spell on me. They're jealous of me. Yeah, right. They're so jealous of the crummy life that you're leading that they've just spent like, what, $200 on candles and oils and talismans to ruin your life. I don't think so. I mean, have you checked the price of candles lately? What the hell is going on? It's just some fucking wax, okay? And some, like, what, food coloring? What, a $78 candle? I don't know about you, but if you're going to cast a spell on somebody, man, it better be Brad Pitt or somebody good, Angelina Jolie, whatever. But very few people are really out there stocking up on candles, meditating on a bad picture of you with your ugly haircut, trying to make your life a living hell. They don't need to. Quite frankly, if your life sucks, you know, it's something that you're doing or something that you're not doing. So please stop believing that everybody and their brother is putting a curse or spell on you, because it's just, there's not enough hours in the day to spend with that much directed force and energy hating on people. It's just ridiculous. So, but of course, there's a lot of people that like to have this as an excuse as to why their life sucks. Why don't you just say, I need a really great excuse for why my life sucks, and then just leave it at that. And then make a list of all the people that are cursing you. You know, there are some really idiotic people out there who do spells and try to manipulate other people's realities. But quite frankly, those kind of people usually have very limited amounts of power and limited amounts of imagination. And ordinarily, it's like getting a bee sting on your ass, or much, much less worse than that. So, you know, when things are going bad, start taking accountability, start noticing the patterns in your life. And then by the time you go to a really good psychic or you start doing magic, you'll be able to isolate those things and make something change in a lot easier way than flipping out and going bonkers or whatever it is that you do when you're losing control. So those are a couple of little things I felt like I wanted to get off my chest so people can get a little bit of a clue. What is magic? Does it work? How does it work, you know? And can you make people fall in love with you? As we already talked about that. Hell no. No, if you use some really great perfume, you could get them to have wild sex with you in an illicit place. That could happen. But, you know, you don't need magic for that. Some people notice that when they do their charts and stuff, like they're going to check out where somebody's planets are. Some of the stuff, if you want to get a vibe as to, like, how compatible you are in the first place with somebody that you even want to try to attract in your life. For women, you really need to check out the sign that the guy's moon is in, or your other partner. It doesn't have to be a guy, but whoever you're in love with, where's their moon sign? And no, I'm not talking about your ass. I'm talking about Luna, moon, not your moon, but the planet, the moon, the asteroid. Wherever that moon is, it shows how that person is emotionally, what kind of energies they're putting out. And if you are Miss Cuddly Buns and his moon is in some hard-ass sign like Aries or Scorpio, I can just tell you right off the bat, you're wasting your time, because he's never going to be emotionally open to whatever it is you're dishing out, you know? Mars for men, too, is the sign of their sexuality, their intensity. If I see a guy's got Mars in Gemini, I just say, excuse me, I have to go wash my hair and just get the fuck out of there. Mars and Gemini is just the biggest fucking waste of time. I'm sorry. I don't even care if you all have Mars and Gemini. I'm not going to date you. Let's put it that way. It's just not going to happen. Mars and Gemini is really annoying because it doesn't matter how amazing you are. You can be Pamela Anderson and the bastard will still cheat on you. Okay? We all know how that works. In a woman's placement as well, you have her placement of Venus. If she's got a hard-ass Venus and a very difficult sign like Capricorn, she's a gold digger. She's probably dating Kanye right now. So these are the kind of things that you want to pay attention to. The moon shows how open that person is emotionally speaking. Mars is the kind of sex they like. Venus is the heart placement. Like, what kind of emotions are they capable of dishing out and reciprocating? So when you pay attention to those kinds of placements, you're going to be a step ahead of the competition. Because it doesn't matter how cute somebody is or how amazing they are, if your planetary energies don't gel, and you don't have to believe it, but it's just not going to happen. I can literally look at somebody's chart and go, fucking forget it. You know, how long did this thing last? What, 2 months? They're like, whoa, you're so psychic. I'm like, yo, you can just, after a while, you just start seeing these patterns, you know? If you were paying attention to your ex-boyfriend and he had a particular group of behaviors, habits, and physical attributes, and you saw somebody very shortly thereafter that reminded you exactly of your ex-boyfriend, whom, by the way, destroyed your life, it's the universe's quick, you know, speed reading way of saying, get the fuck out of there, because pretty much whatever just happened to you last time is going to happen to you this time. You might think the person doesn't look anything like the other person, but once you get that vibe, like, you know, this guy's reminding me of so-and-so, or this girl's reminding me of the psycho bitch that destroyed my life. These are psychic intuitions that your own angel is giving you to prevent you from wasting too much time on people who are not really going to further your interests. You know, they're not going to further your cause. They're not going to be the love of your life. They're not going to bear your star spawn. You know, it's just not going to happen. A lot of people, you start paying attention to celebrities. I really hate going on about celebrities. I really do. But the reason why I tend to talk about them a lot is because I use them as symbols for other kinds of situations. You know, if you see certain kinds of people getting together, you pretty much know it's a done deal. It's like, this thing isn't going to happen. How come 10 billion other people knew that people like, you know, Britney and Kay Fed were not going to work out? But how come it's completely unknown to those two people? I mean, doesn't that like surprise you at all? It surprises me that some people just can't see the writing on the wall. You know, but these are different things you want to pay attention to in your life so you don't waste too much time trying to force yourself upon people who really aren't compatible with you. So you can move on and get the kind of people that are going to bring you the happiness, love, and joy and fulfillment that you truly desire, you know? So anyway, those are some things that I thought were really important to talk about today. So we're talking a little bit about Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, the Black Voodoo. I mean, come on. Do you think that that's like kind of an accident that one of Jimi Hendrix's most famous songs is Voodoo Child? Come on. You know he was messing with some stuff. So we talked a little bit about love spells, magic, how it works, when to use it, when not to use it, what are the hallmarks of just your own fucked up life and that you're trying to rely on magic to bail your ass out once again. You know, a life well lived is a different kind of magic. It's its own magic. You don't have to seek for the magic outside of yourself. So anyway, I'm going to sign off for tonight. I just wanted to ramble on a little bit about my favorite crazy guitar player in the whole universe, Jimi Hendrix, and point out a little bit of interesting facts about his chart. And I hope you learned a little something from all my psychotic ramblings. Anyway, so feel free to write me at vox.org, V-O-X-X at V-O-X-X.org. Check out my website. Check out the classes. I offer classes that nobody in the universe offers. I kid you not. So check it out. Learn how to develop your own psychic abilities, because trust me, I can't be everywhere, can I, for God's sakes. I like to teach other people how to use their intuitive abilities. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that you should be able to trust your own gut feeling and learn how to develop it so you can get more information from your gut feelings and how to predict your own flow. How do you predict the different kind of people that are going to enter your life and what you need to do about it when they show up? So always feel free to write to me, write your questions about magic, voodoo, any religions, crazy ass stuff, world predictions, whatever have you. Just feel free to drop me a line and let me know how you like the show. And subscribe, of course, to get more fun stuff. And in the meantime, if you want to get a reading, always feel free to contact me again at vox@vox.org. We'll set something up. I do internet readings, email. I teach by email, phone, chat, you name it. Any way you want to learn it or hear it, I'm here for you. So anyway, signing off for tonight. Have a great night, and I'll be back with you soon. Have a mystical, magical day.